Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. It's Monday morning. My name is Beth Pike, and today our host, Latara Smith, is supposed to talk with Evelyn Case about her son Byron's wrongful conviction. But the computer dogs ate her homework, and we're going to bring you that later in the month. Instead, what we're going to do is replay an interview that Latara did with Monique Willis of Mama on a Mission back in April. And they spoke about moms on a mission and about a fundraising walk that's already happened. So please disregard any request to be involved in the walk, but don't hesitate to get involved with Mama on a Mission. And then in our second half of the broadcast, it will be Keith Brown Ill talking with Melvin Merritt about the Penny Mill Community Empowerment Picnic on April 13th. You'll also want to stay tuned for the calendar of events in the middle of the broadcast and the 420 drug war news at the end of the show. Up next is Latara and her guest.
Hi, I am Latara Smith with the Casey Freedom Project, and today I have the honor of interviewing Miss Monique Willis. Miss Willis is the director of Moms on a Mission, and we have her live and in person today. Thank you for coming, Monique.
Thanks for having me.
I'm just going to jump right in here and get to it because we don't have a lot of time. But, you know, I see you in the community. You are always everywhere with Moms on a Mission. And I just commend you for that.
Thank you.
You stay busy.
Yes, ma'am.
And that is awesome to see you out there in the community like that. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about Moms on a Mission and what inspired Moms on a Mission?
Okay. Mom on a Mission was inspired by my son, my only son, Alonzo Thomas IV. He was murdered on April the 4th, 2014, in the 7100 block of Wayne. It was a Saturday, a 1 o'clock afternoon. He was had a phone conversation about someone he was talking to. KCPD still has his phone, actually, so they do know who he was talking to and who was on that phone. But the conversation was something about come down the street a little bit further. He was either inside the car with the person or outside, but there was some communication and conversation that took place. And some people say it was argument. Some people didn't hear anything, but I hear there was a lot of people outside in the streets that day. Okay. And then there was a shot in the backside. He went back to the house of 71st and Wayne and knocked on the door, and the people inside that he was with actually as well let him in, and he fell on the floor.
So you brought up something that I want to jump right into in
yes.
reference to the murder, the homicide of your son. Where is the Kansas City Police Department at with the investigation? Is the investigation open?
It's still an open case.
Okay.
I will get an email every so often, maybe once every other month, saying it is an open case, but there's no new leads.
No new leads.
Yes.
How has your communication been with the Kansas City Police Department? Have they been working with you? You know, have they been accommodating?
It's been a fight. It's a fight. It's another fight and struggle with me and other families to just to get a response. If I call you or send you an email, just respond to me.
Right.
Let me know what's going on. Let me know, are you working on it or are you not working on it? Are you, there's other things. I know there's more homicides than it is detectives. So I understand and respect the fact that there's a lot going on and you have a lot to do.
Right, right. A big caseload.
But
right.
at the same time, you still, this is my child and my family and my case. We need to work on that as well.
Right.
So what's the communication process is you need to communicate with us. Let us know.
Okay. And is there one assigned homicide detective to the case? Or are there multiple or?
I only know of one detective.
One detective.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, now the reason I asked that question, because it doesn't seem very hard to be able to communicate. If it's just one detective, it seems like he or she would be able to, you know, communicate with you and get back with you on a regular basis and at least keep you up to par as to what's going on with the investigation.
Yes, I mean, to get that communication back, I would have to go to a different other channels just to get a response. So,
why do you think we have, I know that you're not the only organization
mm-hmm.
that where moms are fighting for, you know, their children that have been,
right.
you know, murdered. Why do you think we have so many different organizations as such?
There's a lot of organizations that are not collaborating, that we don't know about, that may be out there doing the same job and doing the same type of work. But we need to come together and unite, because our resources, we can come together and be one strong moms group.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
We can still do our own individual thing, but if we come together as a collaboration of mothers and groups, then we could be much more powerful together.
right,
than doing our own thing.
Right. And that's something that we were talking about here recently. I did a post on Facebook, and I was saying that, you know, I don't think people understand, you know, how much power there is mm-hmm. in unity.
Right.
And I believe that's why we haven't been successful, you know, as a people to come together, because, you know, to make something happen, because we don't come together to make it happen.
Right.
The you
moms,
understand what I'm saying?
I
hope I
just
said
the moms,
that clearly.
The moms, the dads, the cousins, the aunts, the uncles, the families.
Right.
We need to come together.
Right.
Because we're missing our family, and someone else is holding out, holding their family member somewhere in the basement and letting them hide. We need to let them know that you need to bring them upstairs and let's take a walk to the police department.
Right. Now, how is it when you've reached out to other organizations? Do you work with larger organizations or other organizations? Or
they are aware of me. We communicate, but the collaboration is not like it to be.
Right.
But, you know, it's a fight. It's a fight for them as well.
Right.
But I work better with other smaller organizations. They're willing to play well better together.
I'm really kind of not really lost for words, but when I hear about you having communication problems with the police department, mm-hmm. this is your baby, this is your son,
my only child,
your only child who was murdered. I wonder, you know, do you hear complaints from the other mothers that they
yes.
have these same issues? So it's not just with you.
It's not just me. It's not just me. It's a lot of other families. Some people do have some good detectives. They're like, well, yeah, they call me back every time. They respond to me. And then some, like, I call, I email, and there's no communication at all.
Right, right.
And then when I'm in the community and I meet someone of authority, and I'm like, well, I just talked to this mom, and she hasn't called anybody, haven't heard back from anyone. Then within a couple of days, I get a phone call from her. Mm-hmm. My detective called me.
Are there other organizations? Do you work with any other organizations? You know, not more so other moms that mm-hmm. have organizations like yours, but other organizations with our community that could possibly help. Ad hoc is one of them. Have you had a lot of dealings with them? Have they been helpful and resourceful for you and your organization?
I did get a mom who called me, who said they was referred to me by Ad Hoc, which was surprising. But so I'm not quite sure exactly how their injection is, but as far as someone calling me and letting me know about that, mm-hmm. it's very rare.
Okay. When your son was murdered, did you find that Ad Hoc was helpful to you? You know, provided some services and things as such?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
I found that he had a reward flyer out there via Ad Hoc, mm-hmm. and I found that out on via Facebook. So that's when I had to make the initiative conversation to them. Like, okay. There's a $1,000 reward flyer. Is this true? Is it, you know, you don't know when, just because it's on Facebook doesn't mean it's true.
Right, right.
So I had to make the call to see what's going on. So I got, you know, that's when my conversation started happening about that. I'm
right.
Like, okay.
Now, I noticed you said that Ad Hoc was giving a $1,000 reward. Mm-hmm. But I see here on this very nice flyer where you have your baby's picture, he was so handsome. This reward is $5,000. So can you tell me a little bit about that? Did you actually have to get out and fundraise to raise up this reward amount?
Crime Stoppers, they gave up $2,000, Ad Hoc $1,000, and I fundraised for the addition of $2,000.
That is awesome. And something else you had, and I didn't get a chance to see it other than seeing it on Facebook.
What?
But you had a billboard, right?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes, you thought I was going to say you had a billboard out, and I don't know how long it was up, but I saw it on Facebook, and I thought that was just awesome, awesome, awesome. I really did.
I'm able to get billboards up for my son and other families as well. He had a billboard on 35th and Prospect. It was up, put it up in July, so that billboard could stay up as long as no one else came up behind me.
Okay.
And from my last heard, it was up. It may still be up.
Awesome. That is so cool. That's so cool. And, you know, just real quick, I just want to say to families that may be going through, you know, what you're going through. Mm-hmm. I know sometimes it's hard. I know sometimes it's very discouraging. But, you know, I just want to encourage them to keep fighting, to keep pursuing justice mm-hmm. for their loved one. And I want to encourage you, you know, in that aspect as well.
Because I always say, if his mother don't fight for him, who else is going to fight? Who else is going
to
do it?
Right. I mean, that's very similar to a lot of things I deal with, you know, fighting wrongful convictions. We deal with a lot of mothers whose sons or daughters have been wrongly convicted. And mm-hmm. I encourage them the same way. You know, the family members, you have to fight.
Because
if you don't fight for your loved one, no one else is.
If I don't stand up and keep speaking, it will just fade away.
Right. Now, you have a Walk a Mile in My Shoes coming up. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
April 2nd, Walk a Mile in My Shoes at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. It will be a walk. I actually just walk 1 mile in my shoes. It's my second annual fundraiser. It will be helping the families of homicide victims, helping them with their flyers, putting up billboards, also helping with possible funeral expenses, just helping to support them in their endeavors. To get them, you know, out in the community to
right.
make it known to, if they're, especially if it's an unsolved homicide.
Right.
Just keep it moving and keep it out there. But even okay. if it's not unsolved, just to help them with support and different resources.
Okay. Now, I see here we have a, it's like our enrollment, your enrollment form.
Yes.
I mean, okay. And so can you talk a little bit about that, the registration sure. deadline and all that?
You can register online on... You can go to my website, MomOnAMissionInc.com,
yes.
and you can click on that fundraising link. Registration deadline, I believe, is next week, the 19th.
Yes.
So, yes, you can also come out in person and register the same day, but coming out in person on the same day, you're not guaranteed getting the shirt size that you want or the information that you may want in the packet, but you're still more than welcome to come out on the same day, April 2nd, 9 o'clock, Central Park on 31st in Indiana.
Okay. And I want to say, too, for those of you who may not be able to make that date, like I'm not, I have a prior engagement. Mm-hmm. We are still able, the Casey Freedom Project, we're going to support you financially. We have a donation for you.
Thank you.
And other people that may not be able to be present at the walk that day, I want to let them know that they can still support you financially.
Mm-hmm.
And they can forward those amounts of support to P.O. Box 140425, Kansas City, Missouri, 64114. And that is to Mama on a Mission Incorporated. So,
yes.
you know, we don't always have to be there in person to support if we can't. But
sure.
whenever you are on the battlefield like you are, like mm-hmm. I am with the Casey Freedom Project, it costs.
Yes,
it costs a lot. And people, you know, if they can help us and help you in that aspect, that is very, very good to
that
do.
That would be wonderful.
Most definitely good to do. So we spoke about your organization and you working together.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else that you want to pull out that you want those in the community to know about your organization and exactly what you're doing?
Right now it's collaborating with small organizations, coming together, unifying, letting them know that we are here together, that we can do it, but we can't do it alone, that I need your help and you may need my help, whatever service that you have that I may not do. Let's bounce ideas off each other.
Right.
Let's go back and forth and see how we can bring things together and unite our different ideas, our different suggestions, different people that you may know, I may not know.
Right.
How
right.
we can put all this together and make something happen. Because right. together we can do it.
That's right. You're absolutely correct. Well, I just want to welcome everyone. You're listening to the Jaws of Justice radio show. I am Latara Smith of the Casey Freedom Project, and today I am interviewing Miss Monique Willis of Mama on a Mission Incorporated.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you, too, and this is a personal question. It's very intimate to me because everyone knows my thing of fighting mm-hmm. for wrongful convictions. Having a son that was murdered.
Yes.
How would you feel if the wrong person was incarcerated or found guilty for your son's murder?
Well, me and you spoke before that I have a nephew that's currently incarcerated, which I believe that's possibly wrongful.
Yes.
So I am open-minded on both sides.
Out of Texas, though, not in Missouri.
Correct, out of Texas. So I'm open-minded on that particular case. So going to trial, I will be there and actually listen to what's going on and be open-minded just because you have someone there. I want to make sure that that's really the person that did it. I mean, even though, yes, I want justice for my son, but I don't want someone else to hurt or family to go through something that if it's not them, it's not them. If they didn't do it, why go through the trouble? Because that person who really did do it is still out there in the streets. That's the person we want.
Exactly. And that's a valid, a very big, valid, legitimate point to make, that when we have someone in prison for any crime, whether it's murder or whatever crime it is, mm-hmm. you know, in prison for something they didn't do, let's say it is murder. Well, right. We still have the murderer in our community.
Right.
That could possibly commit the same offense again.
Correct.
And so it seems reasonable that the police department would want to pursue,
right.
You know, make sure they have the right person there.
They're wasting time and resources for someone who didn't do it.
Yeah, of course. Especially when you take them to trial, that costs a lot of us taxpayers.
Right.
You know, with that. What does the future hold for Mama on a Mission?
My future. The future of Mama on a Mission is to grow, to stay in the community, to let people know that I am here to help them. Mm-hmm. I am here to help to fight for my son and to fight for your child and your family member. To be, I want to say at one with the community, but to build a bridge with other different communities and different organizations. Because there's a lot of them who don't really play well with each other.
Right.
But respect the cause and what they're able to bring to the table.
Right.
So even if you don't want to have that conversation, that I'm able to have that conversation with them to see how we can bring it together and make it to build that bridge and unite it. So just to grow something that's can be bigger than what we can have.
Now, do you have any other upcoming events besides the walk? Do you have anything else coming up that you want to let our listeners know about? I know that Miss E, the fabulous Miss E, keeps you quite busy.
Yes.
You're always speaking.
I do love my Miss E.
But she's a sweetheart.
I'm also working with a group called Hearts Infinity on March the 26th on 39th and Prospect at 12:30. We're also going to be uniting with some Unsolved Homicide families.
Wow.
And having what they want to call a march and having flyers and bringing them out together.
And can you repeat that again for me so that our listeners could hear?
Hearts Infinity, March 26th on 39th and Prospect.
Now, Alonzo was your only son.
Yes.
Okay. What kind of void did his death leave in your family and in the community?
He has two children.
Okay.
He has one baby that he never met because this young lady was pregnant by him, and then I found out about her the same time I found out about Alonzo.
Right.
So I actually have a grandson, Alonzo Thomas V, who I don't have much of a relationship with because of that particular mother.
Right.
I do believe if Alonzo was here that he would make sure that that relationship would be more than what it is.
Right.
So he has a daughter named Zoe. She's 4 years old.
And she's a little cute little thing. I see her all the time on Facebook. She's a cutie.
I have her every weekend. And it hurts that she walks around and say, my daddy died. You know, where my daddy? My daddy has wings. He's an angel now.
Mm-hmm.
So that void is knowing that she's growing up, knowing that he's not here. But,
right.
But she does have memories of him. So right. it hurts to have those conversations with her.
Right.
Or looking through the pictures and she's like, I miss my daddy.
Right, right.
So that's a big void of the children.
That's understandable, you know. But how are you?
I tell everybody that my house may be a mess, but that means I'm keeping myself sane.
Right, right, right.
Because something can't be perfect on all angles.
Right. You know, because I know personally, you know, it's hard to lose
a child.
I lost a 2-year-old daughter. And it's a very trying, emotional time,
roller coaster.
To have to bury one of your children, because we always think as parents, they'll bury us,
right.
You know.
It's an emotional roller coaster. It's
right.
An emotional roller coaster to be strong for others while I'm trying to be strong for myself as well.
Okay. Well, you know, I just wanted to find out, what else do you want to bring out about the organization? What do you see needs to change?
Within my organization or just the...
No, pertaining to everything that your organization has dealt with as far as you fighting for justice in this case. What do you see that needs to change? We know it's an issue of communication with the police department.
It's a big issue.
So we know that needs to change. And what else could you see? What else do you think would be valuable? What do you want to say to the police department? I'm sure some of them are listening to this interview.
I don't know what I want to say to them right now, but to back up to what I would like to actually have happen, the people that actually are upset and doing things that could harm other people, to actually think about what they're doing before they're doing it. I mean, me and you are mad or we having a beef, pulling
right.
a trigger is not going to solve anything. You're hurting yourself and that family as well. So trying to come to a inner peace or having an internal conversation with yourself before you actually go out and do something
right.
is something people may want to consider.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're really doing a lot of damage over something so minor and petty.
That's true. And I hope some of our youth is listening.
you're hurting a lot of families, your own family, the other families. I mean, there's a lot of people involved. You're hurting yourself. I mean, your mother.
Right.
And the person's mother that you may be harming as well. I mean, right. Your children, they may be growing up without a father, and the other person you're held up against and are hurting, you know, they're growing up without parents as well.
Well, I want to say something to the Kansas City Police Department, if it's okay.
And that's fine.
I want to say, if any of them are listening, you know, if you could only see the look on Mrs. Willis's face when I asked her about her son, if there was a void, this, you know, what kind of void did this leave?
Right.
This woman sat here and fought back tears just now. And I am asking you, I am pleading with you as a citizen of Jackson County.
Mm-hmm.
Please look into this case. Take into consideration, you know, what this mom is going through.
I treat it like if it was your child.
Right. Do the investigation if it was your child. We understand you guys have a lot to do and a lot of homicide cases, but look into this case, please.
All right. Please. All homicide cases.
Please do. All homicide cases, yes. Not just hers, but look into them. And yes. When you're looking, you know, and pursuing people.
Look as if it's your family members.
Exactly. Exactly.
Even though this may be just a normal day-to-day job for you, this is, make it family.
Right.
If it put it into more of a personal appeal to it.
Right. Well, you know, Monique, we only have a couple of minutes left on the show.
Okay.
But I do most definitely want to thank you for coming out.
Thanks for having
me.
And
I want to, once again, can you go ahead once again and announce the Walk a Mile in My Shoes?
Walk a Mile in My Shoes, April 2nd, Saturday at 9 o'clock, Central Park on 31st in Indiana. You can register online. Go to my website, MomOnAMissionInc.com.
Yes.
And you can click on that fundraising link. Registration deadline, I believe, is next week, the 19th.
Yes. Okay.
Coming out for the community for Uniting Justice.
Awesome. And if someone's not available to come out in person, once again, you can send a donation to P.O. Box 140425, Kansas City, Missouri 64114. And that is to Mama on a Mission Incorporated. Well, you know, I appreciate you. It's a blessing to interview you.
Thank you.
And we'll be keeping you lifted in prayer. And any support you need from the Casey Freedom Project, we're there to help you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All righty.
Now, the calendar for August 1st. The Criminal Justice Task Force will meet Monday, August 1st, from 6:45 to 8:45 p.m. at the Church of the Good Shepherd, 4947 Choteau Drive, KCMO. The Criminal Justice Task Force mission is to lobby the Missouri State Legislature for sentencing laws that are fair and humane, and that we all deserve basic human rights, including protection against cruel and unusual punishment. For information, contact Robin Johnson at 816-522-4081 or by email, redrob, that's REDROB, 2655 at yahoo.com. The Metropolitan Organization for Racial and Economic Equity, that is Moore Squared, Missouri Issues Night will reconvene this Monday, August 1st, 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Trinity United Methodist Church, 620 East Armour Boulevard, KCMO. Committees on Access to Health, Criminal Justice, Education, Immigration, and Workforce/Infrastructure Task Forces will meet. All are welcome. The Kansas City Chapter of Missourians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty will meet Tuesday, August 2nd, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church. That's 4501 Walnut, KCMO. They will be discussing a possible visit by Sister Helen Prejean and the upcoming Missouri Cure Conference. The Kansas City Chapter of Empower Missouri's First Friday Forum will be Friday, August 5th, 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Westport Flea Market, 817 Westport Road, KCMO. this month's presentation by the League of Women Voters and Jobs with Justice is entitled Keeping Suffrage in Missouri a Free and Universal Right. Attendees will learn about Amendment 6 concerning voter photo ID requirements that will be on the ballot this November. For more information, contact Val Sanders at val@empowermissouri.org. My name is Jeff Humfeld, reminding you that these events and more can be found on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page, as well as the Jaws of Justice Radio page on the KKFI website. That's kkfi.org. Tune in next week when host Beth Pike will be talking with the owners of the CBD store in downtown KCMO about the benefits of hemp oil, and they will take your calls and questions as well. You are listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Up next is Keith Brown-Ill with his guest, Melvin Merritt.
Communities in which we live are in difficulty all across the nation, and there is always a need for volunteer work, community activism, etc. My name is Keith Brown-Ill, and today on Jaws of Justice Radio, I will be talking to Mr. Melvin Merritt, who is a volunteer programmer here at KKFI and also one of my colleagues in the field of community involvement. Good morning, Brother Melvin. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. And first of all, I'd like to thank KKFI 90.1 Jaws of Justice for allowing me to get this message out and as what we're going to be talking about. Thank you.
Okay, first question. Could you explain what penny meal is?
Yeah, that's a pretty well-known asked question. And I formed that this organization about, 7 years ago. And I looked across my community and I saw that how it was important to bring different ethnic groups together on the same canvas, so to speak, because we went to stores, we go to stores and we go other places and we're rubbing elbows together, but we don't know anything about one another. So I thought it was very important that we can all come on the same canvas and show our young people it's not always about the culture. And I'm not negating the fact that we don't appreciate our culture, but can we pull our cultures together and learn to appreciate one another? So 1 year I had the Kickapoo Indian tribe out and other Hispanic groups out. And because my emphasis that I definitely don't want it to be a black thing, I want it to be a community and a people thing. And so that's really important to me.
Can you explain a little bit about how you derived at the name of Penny Mill? What is the actual concept behind it? I think you did touch on it a little while here ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, where did you come up with this name, Penny Mill, and what is it based on?
I wish I can take the credit for that, but we were in a meeting, and one of the people that was in a meeting with me is Alvin Brooks and Mr. Williams of the Parks Department, and so they asked that question, you know, what do you want to call this thing? And so I didn't have a name for it, but then someone came up with the name because I was collecting 1 million pennies around the community, and I had various cans out at Price Choppers and liquor stores, and liquor stores and other various stores, and collecting that 1 million pennies. And I asked the question sometime, how much is 1 million pennies? And most people don't know, but it's $10,000, and we have surpassed that. But then we eventually took the cans down, and I came up with another idea, is to go to sponsors in the business community, and because it was important for them to support something like this, because they are getting things out of the community. They're getting their resources from the community. So,
and how long has Penny Mill been in existence?
It's been actually 7 years as I see it. And let me go back to that question about Pennymill and how it, you know, the name came about. Mm-hmm. And Pennymill, because I was collecting 1 million pennies. And so the penny and then the mill for million. And I didn't have a logo. So I came up with the logo penny, a penny, and then a windmill. And so that's how we came up with the logo, and it became Pennymill. And it was very catchy. And so we formed this foundation, Slice Corporation. And so we registered with the state of Missouri. And that's basically what that name is. And everybody clicks with that name when they hear it.
What type of impact has it had on the community, or is it having on the community?
I like to think that, you know, especially the person, the people that don't know how to research and network, and they're having the opportunity to go to these different agencies in a non-threatening environment and walk to their tables and stuff. But are we doing anything in terms of inventing the wheel? We don't believe that we are, and I know we're not, because other agencies are doing some of the same things. But what we, you know, what one of my emphasis is that we just want to be a part of that wheel, that spoke in the wheel, because we definitely need all of these things going on in Kansas City to bring some type of awareness and coming together as people, given what's going on in our nation today, matter of fact, all around the world. And so this is a small little part that we can play in terms of bringing people together. And definitely I'll reach out to the police department, and we will have the SWAT team, the mounted police out. And I'm happy about that, because it shows a collaboration on the parts of the police department with the community. So that's a good thing.
And how does the public generally react to that?
I think they act very good, because of the fact that they, you know, a lot of people are very curious about going up in the SWAT wagon and looking at some of the things about, you know, what they was curious about, and because they see it going down the street in a negative way, this way that they can get a hand on and literally being able to touch these things, like that rim. Bar that they have is real heavy. I picked it up myself, and they get a feel of this, and they get a better appreciation of what our police department is trying to do in terms of keeping the community safe. And so that's one of the reasons why I felt it was very important to have them out there along with the fire department. Because a lot of young kids see the fire truck going down, and as I mentioned, in a negative way. This way that they have an opportunity to get up on the fire truck, sit behind the wheel, and when, you know, we don't know whether or not that little kid will grow up and just want to be a fireman. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that that's the impact that we may have. And so we try to bring as much light to it when we invite the media out, Channel 4 and Channel 9. So,
well, do they get to interact with other public servants, such as like the ambulance services and things of that nature? What other people participate in this?
You know, I have a list of, and I like to give them a shout out. And we did, in our first couple of years, brought out the ambulance service. But with the funding that is so low in the city, so they don't have enough staffing to park an ambulance, you know, in our event where they used to. And then when they came out, they allowed the young kids to walk up into the ambulance and look around. And I thought that that made a real big impact. And I'm saddened because we don't have the funds. And then we go through a lot of the politics, and I think that we ought to tear that down and do what we need to do to bring some healthiness to our community. And you asked the question, who else is being a part of the Pennymill? And we're bringing out the Boys and Girls Club, and this year, which we didn't have in the past 6 years, is McDonald's. McDonald's is going to be setting up and giving out some some certificates and things like that. And it's a great opportunity to come and grab a ticket and try to win things. We're going to have Advanced Auto. They're going to be out there, and they're going to be giving away a lot of different stuff. They're going to have car wash buckets. Then we're going to have a brand new jack that we're going to be raffling off. And so those things, we're going to have Boots Phone company out there. We hadn't had them in a while. And so that they're going to set up and put their banner up. And also some of the agencies like McDonald's have made a special flyer for us because they're one of our sponsors. And so we're going to be hanging their banner up on the shelter. And so I'm having the Parks Department to display those banners. And some of the other ones is I have invited the Hilltop Saddle Club, and another one is Home Missions Outreach Ministry. And Insure One is with us every year. And so I'm excited about that. VA Hospital has been with us every year. And DARE, they're bringing out the DARE car. So I think that that's interesting, too. Many other agencies will be out there without going down this list. So,
what are some of the groups that you would like to work with that you are currently not involved?
Well, again, I would like to say, you know, the ambulance, you know, the mass trucks. Those are the ones that is real important for them to come out. And it's understandable where there's no monies, then, you know, if they can't do it, they just can't do it. But that's one of them. And we, for some reason, we had Spayed and Neuter out there, and I really wanted Spayed and Neuter. They've been coming every year. And so they're not going to make it this year. And because a lot of questions has to be asked, you know, maybe something about your pet. And it was important that we have that agency there to answer questions about, or even if people wanted to get their animal spayed it or neutered. And so they do things like that on a free basis. And so it's a lot of resources that will be out there that can share with some of the community that is unaware of this. And so I mentioned, but we're not going to have them, is H&R Block. And H&R Block has funding strictly for the minority community. And a lot of people think it's just for taxes. UPS is another organization. People think that it's just basically for boxes or, you know, mailing out certain things. But UPS have funding for minority group and funding set aside for minority kids to go to college and school. And so, but they don't throw up a flag and let everybody know. So you have to learn how to network with some of these agencies. Don't just look at the name and think that they, you know, they only do just that.
Right.
And organizations are doing a lot more than that.
So generally what you do is just you try to put all of these groups in one location together so they can go and get or have an opportunity to go and get services that are provided rather than trying to take on the burden of trying to provide all these services yourself.
Right. Well, and the other thing that they don't have to go to just one service and then maybe don't have the gas to find out anything else about it. And so this way we put it all on the same in a non-threatening environment like the park. It's going to be held at Blue Valley Park. And I think that that's a great venue that we can bring this this information to the community. And we try to get it out through flyers and let everybody have an opportunity. Everything is free that Penny Mill is doing. And so we don't charge anything for the community to come out and courtesy and thank. I thank Costantino family for enabling us to be able to have hot dogs, buns, and all of these things absolutely free, and I don't turn around and charge the community for it. And so I'm excited about that, to be able to present it to the the community. And so we give them the hot dogs and chips and things like that. And let me mention before I forget that the Marching Cobras is coming out, and they was with us last year. And I'm excited about that because generally the Marching Cobras, they tear the house down when they come. And
I've seen them.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that. They always bring people with them, and people are excited when the drums go off, when they get on the bus. And this year, you know, they couldn't come up with the bus fees, so we had to find the funding to pay for the bus. And so by God's grace, we were able to get the funding to pay for the bus. And so all of these things that give me the motivation and the will to continue to keep bringing this resource to the community.
You are listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Can we talk about the upcoming event that you have? I think it's on the 13th of this month.
Yeah, as I mentioned, it's going to be on the 13th, which is a Saturday. And it's a lot of the agencies going to, I had instructed them that they had to be out at least by 8 o'clock setting up. So when the community come out, they're not over there trying to get boxes and stuff out. So they have to be at least set up about by 8:30, no later than 9 o'clock. And so we're going to have my sound man is coming in with his concert type speakers and stuff like that. And then we're going to have the music piped in, you know, while people are setting up. And so all of that is to generate, you know, the people that let them hear, you know, that there's something going on at the Blue Valley Park. And so it's important. And let me mention some of the singers, too. Johnny Taylor, a lot of people have heard of Johnny Taylor,
right. And
R&B singer. And his son is going to be out singing, T.J. Hooker.
Right.
And you're familiar with him. And so he sounds just like his dad. Mm. And so I have a CD of him. And so that's one of the reasons why I reached out to him. And so he's going to be out there, Ron Old School. And Vamps is going to be there. That's Kansas City Bully Ministry. And they try to head off bullying, you know, in our school system. And we know that runs rampant in our schools and cause children not to go to school, not to focus on their academics. And so we need all of these things going on in our community, because Kansas City is doing a lot of great things. And so I don't want to take anything away or try to think that Pennymill is the only one that's doing these things. Pennymill is not. We just want to be a part of that. And so I'm excited about that.
I was about to ask you that question right before you begin to elaborate on it, because we do need to put a lot of emphasis on focusing on things that affect our youth. And one of the things that concerns me is that a lot of people like yourself and myself and other people who are out here trying to do things to improve the community, we are getting into the advanced years of our age.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talk
that's
to
not
young,
me though
when I talk to young people, I try to make them understand, look, this is your world that's mm-hmm. You're getting ready to inherit here in a minute, and you need to start trying to focus on
seeing how you can make it better.
Yeah,
you know?
Or what kind of world you really want to live in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have any other ideas or programs that are going in that direction?
Well, yeah, and you know what, I want to touch base with the homeless, and I know that you work somewhat with
right. That,
and we're going to have Betsy House. And Betsy House is a great organization that's in the north area of Kansas City, and they allow homeless people to come in and take a shower and wash some of their clothes, and they give them breakfast and those types of things. And you know, as I mentioned, that Kansas City is doing a lot of great things for people in the community, and Betsy House is one of them. And so One thing I found out about Betsy House, it used to be a lady by the name of Betsy, and I don't know her last name, but she used to own the house. And when she passed away, and Mike is a person that took over the house, and but he kept the name as Betsy's House. And so they're doing some great, great work there. The homeless is around there, and they, you know, bring up their cars, which are not, you know, in the best shape. And sometimes they get abandoned there, and they have to, you know, they have to.
Towed away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of, but that's all part of, you know, the homeless community. And so that's, you know, and then we're going to have the, no, we were going to have them, and which I was trying to reach out. That goes back to the questions which you had asked, what other organization that you would like to touch base with, and that was the Living Bread Ministries. And I reached out and asked many of the churches to come in, because we believe that the church need to be involved in,
yes,
a lot of the things in the church, I mean in the community. And so I generally reach out, Victory Temple. I feel bad because I'm not getting the name right, but it's under Bishop Tolbert.
Mm-hmm. Louis Tolbert.
Louis Tolbert,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so he has been very supportive of the community, Penny Mill Foundation. So, you know, that's one church that has been really supporting us.
How do people become involved in Penny Mill if they want to become volunteers?
I'm glad you asked. If they can go on our website, which is pennymillinc.org, and it's a form at the bottom that they can put their name down and mention that they're interested in volunteering. We haven't gotten to the point that we can reach out and hire staff. And what we're trying to do and get to that point is to set up funding to get a couple of staff members. Full-time staff members. And one of the things that we want to, we're reaching out to do is the Grade Watch Incentive Program. And this is where we go in to find out from the school what children are falling through the cracks. You know, maybe their grades is D's and F. And so we try to encourage them and give them an incentive if they raise their grades up. And we will give them a certain amount of money and to encourage them to lift that grade up. And if they continue to do it, they get every report card, period, that they get monies. And if they come out with an A, we give them an X number of dollars and a bond. And during the process of that, we take the family out for dinner to encourage the child, you're doing a great job, keep up the good work, and those kinds of things. And this is what we're reaching to try to do with some more funding.
And that's all over the city, right? That's not just certain school districts.
No,
certain schools,
no, that's, I mean, that's all students. And that's why I said it's not a black thing, it's a community thing. And that's what I'm trying to reach, just all children. And because the children that belongs to other people, they are ours too. And so exactly, that's why it's important that we raise the, help raise those children.
Now, how do you go about acquiring the information about how to children are coming up with their grades? Is there something that's supplied to you by this a school board or the official?
No, we haven't yet went into the schools, but that's one of the places that we're going to reach out to is some of the schools, and they're really in wanting people to come in to touch base with some of those kids that are falling through the crack, whether it be in their family nucleus and it's negative, you know, the family, and then the community that's discouraging a lot of the children from getting into their academics. And so we want to be a part of getting kids motivated to do the things that they need to do in order to get to their destiny.
Well, regrettably, we're almost out of time, sir. And it's been a pleasure having you on this show.
It's been fun, too.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well,
It's the 420 Drug War News. The following interview was recorded with Shane Shackelford, based in Katy, Texas, heading up the Medical Marijuana Relief System for Kids with Epilepsy and Other Such Maladies, despite the draconian Texas laws.
With these children, especially with the kids with severe intractable epilepsy, brain damage is being done with every seizure, and their brains are developing. So this is an emergency state. We can't wait. These treatments aren't to improve the quality of life. They're to improve the entire life of the child. We have a 20% death rate with Dravet, which is a form of epilepsy, a severe form. And any of the kids who do make it to their teenage years need 24-hour health care, you know, even help going to the restroom because of all of the brain damage that's being done right now. And as we speak, there are children across this country that are in a life-threatening epileptic seizure right now. And we want to stop this because it's ridiculous that we have the cure. We're not looking for the cure. In many of these cases, we have the cure, and it's not available to everyone.
Oh.
So that's what we're trying to change. We're trying to educate the public on this so that outrage happens and things change, basically.
I have seen people firsthand, and I've seen many video scenarios which show these kids that are comatose and can barely move, walk, talk, or feed themselves, through the use of cannabis, wind up being able to walk, talk, maybe skip, jump, and have a hell of a day. And it's just outrageous that we're stopping that here in Texas.
Yes, I've seen it with my own eyes through the children we've helped. So far, we've moved 8 kids up to Colorado, and that's mostly from Texas, but we have kids out of Kansas and even one of the children is from Ireland. The first child we moved, he came over, landed in Denver in December. He was 2.5 years old. He had not walked or spoken, so he was behind development for his age. And a little over a month after landing in Denver, he spoke his first words, and he walked and was even trying to run that quickly. this child has gone now 6 months without a seizure, and he's able to do things like go to the park, whereas before he was in a helmet, and sunlight would throw him into a life-threatening seizure.
Wow.
So now he's able to interact with the world, go to museums. It's really wonderful what's going on.
Please share your website and some closing thoughts.
Sure. The website is greencorepack.com. To like us on Facebook, you can actually, the project on Facebook, you can find it by looking up Safe Haven 911.
Dean Becker, drugtruth.net.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show and that we leave you with something to think about, something to talk to your neighbors about, and a reason to get involved. As always, the opinions expressed are those of the host and the guests of Jaws of Justice Radio, not KKFI, the Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated, or its staff and volunteers. You can find our calendar of events and a link to our show episodes and podcasts on the Jaws of Justice Radio page on Facebook. If you have a show idea or you want to help produce the show, email us at jawsofjusticeradio@yahoo.com. And you can always listen to us live on the KKFI website at kkfi.org. This is your engineer for Jaws of Justice Radio, Beth Pike. And be sure to tune in Thursday mornings at 6 a.m. when I host the Thirsty Thursday edition of your Morning Buzz. Our outro music is Better Man, and that's from the Playing for Change CD. Please tune in for the rest of our 9 a.m. weekday lineup with Law and Disorder on Tuesday, Alternative Radio on Wednesday, Khadija and the White Guy at 9 a.m. on Thursdays, and then Between the Lines at 9 a.m., followed by Bioneers at 9:30 on Fridays. Up next is Beautician's Blues. That's with Luscious Lynn. And then at noon, it's Arts Magazine with Michael Hogue. You'll want to stick around for Jazz and Blues in the afternoon, and then Eco Radio KC at 6 p.m. Round out your day south of the border with Fiesta Musical, Compartiendo en Familia, and Compartiendo en Noche.